joy to be with you all. That might end up getting stuck here for a month, two, a couple months, something like that. And I thought to myself, well, it's not the first time that's happened. Last time we were here is for a few months during the crusade time period. And obviously you all welcomed us and treated us as part of the family. And we felt right at home then, feel right at home now. And very grateful for you all. Grateful for the partnership, what you have partnered with us to see the Lord do in Brazil. But just in general, praise the Lord that there are still people that model a Christ-like spirit, a Christ-like heart, that have a zeal and a commitment to our Heavenly Father, to our Savior, that is an encouragement to me, a blessing to me, inspiring to me. So we praise the Lord for you all. And I should clarify, I don't know if I said my wife and I are willing to do anything. I should have checked with her first. I'm willing to do anything. She's got four kids. I'm willing to do it. She's probably willing to come behind me and do it the right way. That's probably what it is. So if you have your Bibles this evening, please go ahead and open them to the book of Acts. I don't take it lightly that preacher would allow me the privilege to stand behind this pulpit again. This morning was a blessing. I've told my wife before. I might have told some of you before too. I don't know. I don't think I've told preacher because I don't want to go to his head, but he's got one of those ideal preacher voices. Yeah, his voice, his inflection, his accent, even his vocabulary, very preacher-fied. And I enjoy listening to him talk, but this morning it was a blessing to me to be able to hear him preach. And you all been blessed very much with your preacher here. I count him as a dear friend, as a mentor, and as an example to me. And it's not just words, preacher. Love you. Love you and your wife. Appreciate you all very much. Acts chapter 16 is where we're going to be. If there is anybody watching, once preacher stepped aside, they probably turned off their live streaming. But if there is anybody watching, they say that you know the camera adds 10 pounds to the beard, so I'm not quite as scruffy as I look on camera. Acts chapter 16. We're going to read several verses here, what I believe could be an encouraging story, an encouraging testimonial, if you will, for those of us that are called to live for Christ, to die to self, right now in the 21st century. Acts chapter 16. We will begin reading in verse 16, and we will read through verse 34, and then I'll pray. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by the soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your timeless book. Thank you for the eternal Word of God, the sustenance that we can gain from it, Lord, from the peace that we can gain from it. What we need now more than ever is to hear from you. Lord, as best I know how, I want to step aside and let you speak through me. Lord, I pray that those in this room, those watching, Lord, folk that are tuning in perhaps for the first time either to this live stream or to a live stream of a church in their area, I pray that this time and your calling to souls will not be in vain. And I pray that they will look up, because I believe that your time of your return is imminent. Minister grace to our hearts, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Tumultuous times that we find ourselves in, and as many have already remarked, it's interesting how there have been other flus and other diseases that have come around in our lifetime that have not generated as much panic as this one has. And there may be medical reasons for that. There may be political reasons for that. There may be whatever reasons you want to ascribe to it. That's not what I'm going to get into tonight. But it's interesting to be alive in a first world country as the clock kind of gets set back a little bit, and where we're almost being forced to live our lives, at least for a little while, like they did in earlier times. And some of the fluff and some of the priorities and the conveniences, some of the freedoms even, are not available right now. What does that mean to a Christian? That may have some significance as an American. I jokingly, with a pastor friend of mine, sent him a picture of what we plan to use this time, this pause on furlough. I've decided to raise new funds because there was somebody that put an ad on social media. They're getting rid of their IED-proof armored personnel carrier for the economical sum of $30,000. And I teased and I showed the picture to my wife and I said, look, they can put huge potholes in the streets. It won't matter. And the Brazilian government could declare martial law and it won't matter. And we can pick up the whole bus route, probably half the church, and cram them into the back of that thing and just mosey right on down the road. She was not interested. It even had a Rolls Royce engine in it. I could say that I have a Rolls Royce in the garage. And she didn't want anything to do with that. As a Christian, there are some interesting things right now. Some of you may have pre-existing health conditions. Some of you are of the age demographic that some medical personnel are telling us you need to be extremely careful right now. And so some of you, because of your demographic, these are uncertain times. Some of you, because of your employment, this is an uncertain time. Some of us, because we've just never been through anything like this before, this is all new to us. How do we go about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? How do we go about shining as lights in a dark world? How do we go about as a Christian? How do we go about as just an American and trying to be a good neighbor? How do we go about as husbands providing for and protecting our families? How do we go about as wives? Now some of you are being given the blessing of becoming a homeschool mom, maybe for the first time. How are all these changes, what does that mean for us? In the first century, the book of Acts, the church went through some fascinating times. Growth, rapid expansion, persecution, isolation or abandonment, ostracized by friends, loved ones, by the rest of the town, miracles taking place, tragedies taking place, times of great abundance, times of great need. And all of those things, as a church, followers of Jesus Christ in the first century, they experienced all of that for the very first time. The New Testament church had just come into existence. And the rapid growth, that was a first. The persecution, as a church, that was the first. The famines, even the ones that were prophesied in the book of Acts that we read about, had there been other famines in human history? Absolutely. But the local New Testament church had never been around and had never had to figure out, how are we going to deal with this famine? And Acts even gives us a little bit of the story of how the church dealt with times of physical financial need as a church. Locally, regionally, globally. How they dealt with some of that. I mean, we read in the epistles, we read many times where Paul had some of his team running hither and yon, getting offerings and getting gifts and getting sustenance to churches that needed it because of disasters in their area. And all of that happened in the first century for the very first time. And what a blessing and what a comfort, because apparently it worked out all right. Because the church is still here today almost 2,000 years later. What do you do with a new situation? What do you do with a problem and a difficulty and a trial and tribulation? How can a church move forward when faced with a deck stacked against them? Well, apparently there is a way, because the church is still here. There have been many plagues, many sicknesses, many pandemics, much persecution, times of growth, times of constriction, isolation, abandonment, and the church is still here. How did they handle the uncertainty? How did they respond to the really, really, really tough times? How did they obey God, stay true to their calling, fulfill the Great Commission, love their fellow man, whether they were a believer or not, and do all of that during a very turbulent time? Well, Acts is filled with many testimonies. And we can look at the life of Paul, we can look at the lives of the other apostles, we can look at the story of that infant church, and we can glean some things from it. But just looking tonight at just this story in Acts chapter 16, I find to me something Lord blessed my heart with this week in reading my Bible and going through this. Stop and think with me about what was happening. Paul was commissioned to reach the world, and he was busy trying to serve God. Paul was busy trying to do what God had called him to do and created him to do. He was being obedient. And he had gone to a place. They were sharing the gospel. They were preaching the word of God. They were casting out demons. And that brought about severe opposition. And all of a sudden, they were not able to serve God with any sort of convenience. It wasn't preach the gospel because we have religious liberties. It wasn't preach the name of Jesus Christ, exalt Christ, because we are in an environment that is conducive to gospel ministry. That was no longer the case. They got grabbed by the authorities because all of a sudden the power of the gospel had greatly reduced the economic gain of some tradesmen in the town there. And they were upset because they didn't care about the gospel. They didn't care about God. They didn't care about the well-being even of a young woman who was being used by, manipulated by them. And her tragic scenario, they were making a major profit off of that. And they didn't care about any of the good that came out of her being set free. All they saw was dollar signs. They were looking at the futures of their stock market and seeing that number just plummet, and that's all they were thinking of, as opposed to what a powerful message had just been preached. And maybe we should listen to what this man has to say, because clearly there is a power in that name that he preaches unlike anything we've seen before. Well, they didn't care about spiritual freedom. They didn't care about the gospel. They didn't care about the love of God. They wanted some money. They wanted a good, strong economy. They wanted to create more jobs. That was the primary concern in their town. And all that got taken out when the gospel took root in a young lady's heart. And Paul and Silas suffered because of that. as the gospel changes lives and that affects some people's economic prosperity, they're not going to be happy about it. There are many, many institutions in this world. There are many governments in this world that don't want their people to be free. They want their people to depend on them. Their problem is not that there is a God. Their problem is that they don't want there to be any other God other than themselves. And Paul and Silas suffered the wrath of a government, of some local men here that were tired of this new sect, this new belief, this unknown religion that was messing up the status quo in their town. And it, humanly speaking, it put a stop to gospel ministry there in town. Paul was no longer out on the streets preaching. Silas was not witnessing. They were not going door to door. Now, they're in prison. They've had, as some would say, the stuffings beat out of them. They're hurting. Physically, there was a physical cost to trying to fulfill the Great Commission. They've been people that were, oh, sure, come, no, sure, share the gospel. Oh, yeah, go ahead, go out there. It's wonderful what you're trying to do in town here. And then they got mad at him, and everybody wanted to see him whipped, many stripes laid upon them, and thrown into the innermost recesses of jail, and the jailer is charged above anybody else. You make sure that those guys don't go anywhere. It's almost like, Pastor, that at that point in time, the gospel and eternal truth was viewed as a greater enemy than what was socially acceptable at that point in time. They were guilty of some hate speech, I guess, that had messed things up in town. They were serving the Lord, and all of a sudden, physically, somebody put a stop to it. They were trying to do what's right. And now they're physically hurting because of their desire to serve God. They were trying to reach the world with a message that will change everything. They were trying to advance the kingdom of heaven. And now, humanly speaking, they're alone, uncomfortable, in physical anguish, unable to continue with what they thought they were supposed to be doing. And at midnight, they pray. And they praise the Lord. When life stopped going at its regular pace, when the circumstances inverted all of a sudden, and things were no longer convenient, when there was no longer open freedom to do what they thought they needed to do, when all of a sudden it cost them something to be a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, they prayed and praised the Lord for what was going on. In the passage that we read, I believe there's a testimony that should encourage us as we try to do right in this time right now. As of right now, we've not been drug out into the street and been beaten for being Christians. Right now, it's an inconvenience that we're dealing with that we can't get all of our church family together all at once in one place. And that's inconvenient. And that hurts the heart. But I'm not bleeding on my back because I showed up here today. And there are places in the world where that's happening today. Not because of a virus, but because of an extreme religion that hates Jesus Christ. Or an extremist government that is doing everything they can to stamp out the name of Jesus. There are people that will receive stripes today. Here we're dealing with inconvenience. A shortage of toilet paper. Who knows why? As one of my friends told me, apparently one of the CEOs of Charmin is a Christian, and his wife prayed at the beginning of the year, Lord, bless our business like you never have before this year. I don't know what it is. Right now we've been inconvenienced. But if we're trying to do right, if we're in our Bible and we're praying and we're faithful to church each week and we're involved in the bus ministry, we're involved in the children's church ministry, we're involved in the daycare ministry and the Christian school, we're trying to give right, we're trying to live right, we're trying to do right, and all this has just come to a screeching halt. Well, now what? What a wonderful time to pray and praise God. What a great time to give thanks for what God has given us and what He is allowing us to experience. Because the promises of Romans 8:28 do apply. It may not be good in and of itself, but God will use any and all of it for good. And in this story, we can see several things, and these are the things that we see that did not change even during a bad time. When all of a sudden they lost their freedom of speech, these things did not change. When all of a sudden Paul and Silas suffered physical pain, these things did not change. When all of a sudden they were taken out of the public sector and they were isolated, these things did not change. When their ability to congregate with the new converts in town that they had reached, folk like Lydia and other people in that city, when that was taken away from them, these things did not change. Number one, their salvation. Paul and Silas did not lose their connection to God, their sonship with God through Jesus Christ. They did not lose that because they were thrown in jail. They did not lose that because somebody, for a portion of time, stopped their mouth from preaching. Because they could not continue their ministry did not mean they lost their standing in the eyes of God. Thank the Lord, preacher, the faith that we preach and proclaim is not a performance-based faith. I don't need to be here today. I don't need to tune into a live stream today. I don't need to give lots of money to a church or a religious organization today to try to maintain my good standing with God. And when Paul and Silas were rejected by everybody else, when they were hated by everybody else, when they were abandoned by everybody else and isolated from everybody else, that did not change the fact that God still held them in the palm of His hand.
Amen. Amen.
You cannot lose your salvation because of a pandemic. You cannot lose your salvation because you made a bad decision and you messed up. You cannot lose your salvation because somebody prohibits you from walking into a building that has a marquee sign outside that says such and such Baptist Church. Walking through those doors is not what keeps you saved.
Amen.
The money that you put maybe in an offering plate this morning, or that you clicked to give with a button online, or that you'll mail in, or that you've called somebody to come and pick up, or that you'll slide under the sill of a door at some point, that money did not earn you another day, or did not buy you another day of being God's child. We have passed, that's a past tense verb. I am from West Virginia, but I know a few verb tenses. We have passed from death unto life. Romans 8, probably, if not my favorite chapter in the Bible, one of my top two chapters in the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And that chapter ends, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing going on right now that is doing anything to make you live or be far away from the God that loves you. If you are in Christ, you're in Christ, and there is no physical disease that can take that from you. There is no government mandate that can rob you of that. There is nothing in this world and in this universe that will ever be able to take you out of the hand of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And I didn't say that. I'm not a charlatan up here standing giving you, I'm not peddling snake oil here. The promises of the Word of God is there's nothing that can be done that will take your salvation from you. And so whatever the circumstance in my life is right now, I can rejoice. I can pray. I can praise God that I am just as saved today as I was before coronavirus ever existed. I can be just, I am just as saved right now as I was 2 weeks ago. I am sealed, Paul said, unto the day of redemption. Physical circumstances cannot affect our spiritual standing. And because of this assurance, we can always have joy. Which is the second thing that doesn't change because of a physical limitation or trial or difficulty. Our joy. None of this is changing my salvation. Because of that, none of this should change my joy. There's a difference between pleasure and joy. And there's a difference between happiness and joy. And the joy that we have in Christ, the joy that Paul said, rejoice evermore. When he gave the command, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. How does that rejoicing come about? And how is that spring of endless, eternal joy? How can I have that at all points in time? It goes back to point number one. But because of physical limitations, I should not lose my joy.
That's right.
Because of government changes, I don't need to lose my joy. Because of even the inconvenience of missing out on being with my church family, that does not have to rob me of my joy. I was thinking about this last night. I don't remember when. My son didn't let me sleep very much last night. Y'all pray for him. I'm about to put him out on the porch tonight and make him sleep outside. He's not being a good kid right now. He's 5 months old. He should know better by now. I was thinking sometime last night, we think about what this type of self-quarantining, the measures and precautions that are taking place, and think about what that has meant for our spiritual family, for our church families, and church families all over the world. That reminds me that there is a day coming. I'll never have to be separated from my church family ever again. In fact, it's going to grow exponentially. And there is a day coming because of what Jesus Christ did for me. There will be no viruses and pandemics. There will be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no tears, no anything. And all of us from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue will be gathered forever in the presence of God Almighty, singing His praises. That is a source of joy. No Christian, as a pastor friend of mine would say, needs to be in the Molly Grubs right now. There is nothing going on. Well, you haven't seen my toilet paper drawer. You know why I'm discouraged and a little concerned right now. Well, just there's ways around that, okay? No Christian right now has any reason to be panicking, depressed, crying out, God, what are you doing to me? This isn't fair. Well, you're right, it's not. We live in the most prosperous time in the history of mankind. The way that we live, think about it. I heard a talking head one time, one of those media personalities talking about this. You think about it. You live in a day. Imagine trying to describe the day we live in to somebody that lived just 200 years ago, much less 500 or 1,000 years ago. Imagine telling them, oh yeah, where I come from in the future, you can get this tiny little flat piece of metal, you can touch it, and in 15 minutes, there'll be hot food right there in front of you. They bring it right to you. They would think you're royalty. They would want to know what kingdom you reign over. We live in such a great time. Please, 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 I implore you, don't ever let it be said that a lost person, that the lost world handles hardship better than believers. I read the story this morning about a story read on the news or an article talking about a man that was in a line at one of these buy and buy the bulk stores. I don't know if it was a Sam's or Costco or what. But there were some elderly folk in line, and when they got up to check out, the lady had said, the checkout, the cashier said, did you all find everything you needed today? And the elderly woman replied, no, it didn't find, I don't remember if she said meat or toilet paper, it was one of those two things or whatever. And the young man behind her said, well, ma'am, I've got some in my cart. You can go ahead and have it, and if there's anything in here that I have, please take it. I want you to have it. Now, stories like that will warm your heart. You know, there are lost folk that are responding like that right now. They're opening their homes. They're opening their fridges. They're opening their pantries. They're using their gas and saying, hey, neighbor, if there's anything you need right now, you just let me know. They're going to their elderly neighbors across the street saying, I don't want you catching this thing. So if you need somebody to run and get something, you just let me know. Me or one of the boys will go get it. Boy, I hope every Christian is behaving themselves like that right now. This is a time to live for others, not to think of me. Thirdly, something that does not have to change, our worship and our praise. The circumstances were not good when Paul and Silas at midnight were praying and praising God. That was not because they had just had a great day. That was not because the city had rolled out the red carpet and said, you know what, we're going to get you on the 6 o'clock news, and we were going to give you the key to the city, and I want you guys, hey, we're going to go ahead and get you a suite down there at the nicest hotel. We've been waiting for something. It was a bad day. I don't know if any of you all ever got spanked by your parents as a kid, but the days that I got spanked when I was a kid, typically I don't remember those days as good days. My mother's probably watching the live stream of her church right now. But if she is, Mom, one more time, I'm mentioning the great spanking of 89. I harass my mother about, I don't even know if that's when it was. But, we talk about the blizzard of 76 or whatever it is. That's the great spanking of 89. In my childhood, that's what it was. But you never, as a kid, you never look at the day when you endured physical pain as a good day. And yet Paul and Silas were having, spiritually, a good day. Praying and praising God to the point where everybody around them heard them. That ought to be us today. Some of us are laid out of work. Some of us, we can't go to work. Some of us, we can't go to school. Some of us, we can't finish this project or that project. We can't find this or that at the store. We don't know what's going to happen. Maybe a friend or a loved one or somebody that we know in another state, they're sick or they've caught this virus. We don't know what's going to happen. We had plans for vacation or for spring break or for summer break. And what is going to... Boy, I had my retirement fund, my IRA or my 401k, and now that I could go out and buy a Snickers bar with what's left of it. It's just, we're all worried and this is not a good time. We have so much to praise the Lord for. Turn with me, if you will, please. Psalm 145. Psalm 145. This psalm has some things that I think are very pertinent to us right now. And I pray that the words of this psalm will be words that we can say from our own heart. Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. Folks, we've got a generation that we ought to be testifying to of how good God is, how wonderful he's been, and how blessed we really are. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great, what? Goodness. Goodness. And shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is what?
Gracious.
Gracious and full of?
Compassion.
Slow to anger and of great mercy. He is good to who?
All,
and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. You don't have an impotent God that cannot get you through this crisis. Do not tell me that we need to reach the world and we have a story worth telling and a God worth serving if we're going to panic and hole up and be miserable during this whole thing. Show people around you as a bright light. Show them that you have a God that you can trust in.
Amen.
He's been good. He is good. He will continue to be good. Thy kingdom, verse 13, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord. And let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. As the psalmist also said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. We ought to, even in trials, remember we have been given much. Our God is worthy at all times because of who he is, not because of what he gives. He is worthy because of who he is, not because of what he gave me yesterday. My desire as a follower of Jesus Christ, Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord my God, my strength and my redeemer. Let that be our prayer. Next, God's plan. God's plan does not change because of a trial and tribulation. God's plan was that Paul and Silas preach the gospel. God's plan was that they would reach the lost. They were doing it earlier in the day out in the public square. But just because they were now in prison didn't mean that they could not be testifying and preaching and praising God and reaching lost folk with the message of Jesus Christ. And we see from the text that's exactly what they did. God's power is still absolute and complete. He is lacking nothing. The situation is not beyond his control. He is sovereign. Remember the words of Isaiah 9:6. He shall be called wonderful. Even if you're running out of meat and chips and salsa and candy bars and toilet paper and all that other important stuff. He is wonderful. Counselor. Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And oh, what a day that we need peace. A day like today. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the shadow of the Most High abideth. Where? In the hand of the Almighty. We have been given so much. And we have been commissioned to do something. And what God is working and going about doing in our time does not stop because of a problem or a hardship or a trial or a difficulty. Difficult times manifest even more God's power. In reality, God intended to use the hardship that Paul and Silas dealt with to further the gospel. The suffering of Paul and Silas was the plan. Through that, the Philippian jailer and all of his heard the gospel and were saved. Next, our mission does not stop. God's plan doesn't stop. Our mission does not stop. The church is here to reach the lost. We are here to preach the gospel to every creature. We were sent forth. Jesus Christ told his disciples, I sent you to reap. As the Father sent me, even so send I you. We still have a world to reach. We have neighbors who are watching. Will they find us wailing or worshiping? What will my neighbor see when he looks at me? Matthew 24:46, Jesus Christ said, blessed is that servant who when his Lord cometh, finds him so doing. It's a good thing when we're doing what we're supposed to do because we're called to do it, not because it's convenient to do it. Dark skies reveal beautiful stars. Where I grew up, nighttime, you could see a lot of stars. When I went away to college, not far from Chicago, there wasn't near as many stars in their sky. No wonder people there are always grouchy and depressed and drive like maniacs. Dark skies reveal the beauty of those stars. Our church is not a building, but it is a body. And it's a body that needs to be kept together to function. My hands can do things that my feet can't, but the minute I cut my hand off, it's not going to do me any good. In a time of hardship and difficulty, it is even more vital that I plug in to the Word of God and stay connected to the family of God to do the work of God. And then lastly, the promised success didn't change when things got hard. The blessings of God and His perpetual promises did not go away because things got difficult. It was in the midst of the difficulty that those promises were renewed, were highlighted, and exemplified. You know, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The very person charged with keeping Paul and Silas quiet was converted by their faith. Difficulties are merely another flavor of opportunities. I was thinking about that today. Difficulty is just another way that I can earn new opportunity, get new opportunities to do God's work and to see Him work and to see Him bring about the fruit. It is not the calming of the storm. It is the presence of the master of the seas that we need. I don't need God to calm the storm. I just need to be in the same boat He is. As long as He's in the boat, it doesn't matter what the storm is doing. We're right with Him. That's what matters. It is not my willpower, but a willingness to depend on His power that enables me in the middle of the trial. Don't wallow in these next few days. Don't wallow in pity. Do not live in fear. Do not run around in fear. Look up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain. Father, I love you and I thank you for the promises of your word. Lord, this is a very inconvenient time for many folk. For some, this is a scary time. That could be because of their health. That could be because of the financial situation. It's very uncertain times. But Lord, there are many testimonies of faith that we find in your word of men and women that fixed their eyes upon you, that trusted you, that obeyed you, and that followed in your footsteps. And Lord, now we read the wonderful works that you did because of their faith. Lord, may we be steadfast. May we be found faithful. May we be found busy about our Father's work. And may we be joyful, prayerfully praising our wonderful Heavenly Father who will sustain us during these days. Help us, I pray. Strengthen us, encourage us. And Lord, use this time and use your vessels here to reach lost souls with the gospel before it's too late. And I ask this in Jesus' name.